Chapter 2. At breakfast the next morning, Elizabeth called her husband's attention to the picture hanging on the wall behind him. "Much as it reminds me of dear Aunt Caroline," she said with a reflective air, "it does not seem a suitable subject for our dining room." Major Benjamin Mapflint turned to view the offending work of art. It was hard to say how his wife could see any resemblance to her aunt, with the painting depicting as it did a near-naked Saint Sebastian regarding the arrows that threatened to turn him into a human porcupine with an expression of disdain mixed with boredom.
"Don't see why it reminds you of your aunt," he remarked, slicing the top of his boiled egg. "Nothing like the photographs I've seen of her."
"Naughty boy," Elizabeth scolded him playfully. "It was left to me by Aunt Caroline as a family heirloom together with Mallard's, where we would still be living if it weren't for those odious schemes of Lucia's." She forced a pretty little catch into her voice at the mention of Mallard's, but Benji had learnt by experience that this was a diversionary path best left untrodden. Instead, he continued to gaze at Sebastian, who stared back unblinkingly.
"Do you know," he said after a while, "I don't remember seeing that picture before."
This was hardly surprising. The painting in question, a 19th century copy of a painting hanging in a dusty corner of the Uffizi and attributed to an anonymous pupil of Andrea del Sarto, had hung in an unused spare bedroom of Mallard's and, following the move to Grebe, had stayed in its packing chest until the previous evening, when Elizabeth had removed one of her own watercolour landscapes and hung Sebastian in its place.
"Oh, you men!" she laughed mirthlessly, in an ascending minor key. "But I forgive you," she added magnanimously. "It takes a woman's taste to make a home, after all."
"Well, I don't like it there either," he hastened to assure her. "But what will you put in its place? One of your watercolours would look nice there."
Elizabeth appeared to consider this for a moment and shook her head.
"No, sweet of you, Benji boy, to suggest that one of my little efforts would fit the bill. But I think something more striking and more expressive of the character and personalities of the present occupants of this house would be suitable. A painting that speaks of the character of the inhabitants."
She watched with interest as he mentally assembled the bricks that she had presented to him into an edifice.
"A portrait, perhaps?" he suggested.
She laughed, gaily and dismissively, thereby signifying her approval of the idea.
"Ah, and it's your birthday coming up, isn't it, Liz? Say no more."
He tapped the side of his nose in what he took to be a significant manner.
"Ah, the final keystone of the arch was now in place."
Pleased with what had turned out to have been an easy morning's work, she encouraged him to pile his toast extravagantly with butter and marmalade. Indeed, if it had not been for the early hour, she would have poured him a whisky and soda with her own hands. The truth was that after dear quaint Irene Coles had painted her portrait of Lucia, which Elizabeth had been instrumental in persuading the council to reject, Elizabeth had been insanely jealous of the fact that a recognised artist, the creator of the Royal Academy's Picture of the Year, no less, had seen fit to depict Lucia in solitary splendour. It was true that Elizabeth and Benji formed key elements of Irene's Birth of Venus, which had been acclaimed by eminent critics on both sides of the Atlantic. But there was a satirical and mocking element about the painting, which had made itself slowly apparent to Elizabeth once the first flush of excitement had worn off. A portrait by Irene of Elizabeth Mapflint, whether or not it included Benji Boy, would go a long way towards soothing the feathers that had been ruffled by Irene's paintbrush. Satisfied that matters were proceeding satisfactorily, she countermanded the scrag end of mutton that was to have been their lunch and replaced it with lamb chump chops.